4 years. I just want to keep it in the back of your mind, or in the forefront of your mind, really. That does everybody have a handout? Does anybody don't have a handout? No, I don't. There you go. Anybody else? All right. So just bear in mind that what we have, you know, what I'm trying to do is get you information to use to share the gospel with somebody. Amen. So if you're in this conversation, then and they ask you about the Lord and those kinds of things, there's a lot of things we talked about last week that sin keeps us from the presence of God. And this week, I want to share with you that the wages, according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Amen. And so as you're talking to somebody about the things of God, and you know, and the conversation comes up, that's one of the things you can say. Well, listen, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The result of sin is not just physical death. Here's your first fill in the blank. Everyone dies. The Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So when you're talking to somebody, the thing is, we're all going to die unless the rapture happens. I just locked. I fixed it. Don't make me come back there again. Well, I'll tell you, that sound booth group is rough. They are rough. They don't cut me any. Can you just cut me some slack? I mean, I've been.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
I don't know why I keep touching them buttons, Bill. I did. I locked it. That's what I'm saying. I locked it. So I'm good. I can touch them now. It's good.
It's all right.
Everybody's going to die. Amen. And after that, the judgment. So it's a lot better if we stand before the Lord being saved than not. Yep. Amen. Amen. So everybody dies physically, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. You're still going to die unless the rapture. Woo! Hallelujah. That's when the Lord comes and just takes us out of here, and I'm ready for that. That's going to be a good ride right there. Amen. Everybody dies physically, believers or unbelievers alike. Here's your next fill in the blank. It refers to what we're talking about here is eternal separation from God in hell, right? You don't get to go to hell and then make a way of escape from there. If you end up in hell, it's because you chose to go there and there's no return. Amen? So the wage, this is a wage that a person receives for their rebellion against God. How many of you know that your rebellion against God can stop at any minute? At any minute. Bang, just and there's no long process that you go through. You know, it's not it. You're either saved or you're not saved. I've said this 100 times, referring to ladies. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. You're never just a little bit pregnant. You're either with child or you're not. You're either saved or you're not saved. The day you accept Jesus, you are just as saved as you will be when you're in heaven. Let's do a wave, you and me. That was short. All right, that was it. So, people in hell, have you ever talked to somebody and they just said, well, I'm just going to go to hell and hang out with the rest of my friends? Have you heard that? That's the most ridiculous thing anybody can say. Because here's the deal. It's apparent that when people say that, they do not know the scripture. Because hell is not going to be a fun place. Hell is going to be a place of eternal torment. And when you think about what eternal torment is, the Bible lays it out. There's going to be gnashing of teeth. There's going to be screaming. There's going to be flames and you're burning and all those kinds of things. The worst one for me is the bugs. I'm not a fan of bugs. The Bible says that you're going to be eaten, chewed on continuously for eternity, but never consumed. That's the worms are doing that, yeah. That's enough to deter me. I'm glad I chose Jesus. Amen? I'm glad. People in hell will find no comfort in the truth that they have been paid exactly what they earned. So you're free to choose between the two masters. But you're not free to adjust the consequence of your choice. Choose Jesus, life everlasting in the presence of God. Don't choose Jesus, by default you choose hell. Well, I would never choose hell. Well, here's the problem with that. There's a default setting, just like there is in them computers back there. Just like there is in your cell phone. You either choose Jesus on purpose or by default, because there's only two choices. The enemy and hell is the default setting. The scripture makes it clear that we're all born in sin. And so if we don't take the appropriate action to get out of that realm, then we stay in that realm. And the only place for that, for those that don't transfer out, is hell. It don't make a difference how nice you are. Don't make a difference how good you are. Doesn't make a difference any of that. What makes a difference is, have I accepted Jesus Christ and made him Lord of my life? That's the issue. Each of the two masters pays with its own kind of currency. The currency of sin is death. The currency of sin is death. That's all you can expect or hope for in life without God, is death. It's all you can expect. Here's your next fill in the blank. Christ's currency is eternal life. Christ's currency is eternal life. New life with God that begins on earth and continues forever with God. How many of you know, saved or unsaved, you're going to live for eternity? Saved or unsaved, you're an eternal being. You're either going to be eternally in the presence of God or eternally in the torments of hell. Choose wisely. So the question that you ought to be asking at this point in your conversation is, what choice have you made? What choice have you made? See, God demonstrated his love towards us by sending Christ to die for us, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Pardon me? I missed one. It's forever. Yeah. Christ's currency is eternal life, new life with God that begins on earth and continues forever with God. And I went right from there into everybody's going to live eternally. That's probably why some of you might have missed that, because I didn't.
All righty then.
My thought is that probably the bulk of you in here have already made the choice. Remember what I said to begin with, is that I'm giving you information to be talking to somebody else about the Lord with. And so this, that's why I said this question. You should be asking at this point in your conversation, what choice have you made? So we're talking to the unsaved or to the person you're in conversation with. What choice have you made? Right? And the reality is God demonstrated his love. It was a demonstrative kind of love. It was a love that he didn't just talk about. It was a love that he in fact demonstrated towards us and towards each one by sending Christ to die for us according to Romans 5 and 8 and John 3, 16. This is what Romans 5, 8 says. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why, that's important that you understand. While we were still sinners, Christ died. It's an important fact. People don't have to hope blindly that God loves them. He openly demonstrated it. You don't have to wonder. He demonstrated it. He said, "This is how much I love you." Before you ever chose to love him. Pardon me? Oh yeah, even if you don't choose to love him, he still loves you. He still paid the price. He still did everything that he could to show you the depths of his love. And so while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Christ's death literally is the highest manifestation of God's love for us. It is the highest demonstration or manifestation of God's love for us. So while we were rebellious and while we were despicable, Christ died for us so that we could come to God, find peace with him, and become heirs of his promises. And so Christ did not die so that we could be made lovable. Understand that. Christ did not die to make you lovable. He died because God already loved us and wanted to bring us to him. But we have to remember that the scripture says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And in the old covenant, animals' blood was shed every year. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of animals lost their life for the blood atonement for sin. Jesus Christ stepped up, God's only son, gave his life a ransom for us all. The Bible says he shed his blood once for all. Amen? And so you don't have to go through that thing every year because Christ's blood was shed for you. It was his highest it's what he did to bring us. No matter how lonely or alienated we might feel, we have the unalterable objective fact that Jesus Christ died for you and I. He shed his blood for you and I. He gave his life for you and I. And he sent Jesus, God sent Jesus to die for us, not because we were good enough, which is the amazing thing. People all the time, well, as soon as I clean up some stuff in my life, I'll come to church and give my life. That's ridiculous. You don't get well and then go see the doctor. Come as you are. He sent Christ to die for us, not because we're good enough, but because he loved us that much. And whenever you feel uncertain about how God about God's love for us, you need to remember that he loved us even before we wanted anything to do with him. In fact, from before the foundations of the earth. Isn't that what it says? That's a lot. I mean, In Vegas, that's a long shot gamble, right? That's a long shot. I'm going to send my son to die on the off chance that some of them might accept his provision and choose him and redemption. Think about the ones that don't. Man, that's like a slap in the face to God, isn't it? I reject your son's gift of his blood. I reject that. I choose hell. I promise you this. If people really knew and understood what hell was like, hell would be empty. I was trying to find some fancy word, but empty. It wouldn't be empty because there's already, yeah. But it would certainly be less populated if people knew what hell was going to be like. And you can know. Just read your Bible. You can know. So here we go. If God loved us when we were rebels, certainly he can strengthen us now that we love him in return. So here's a fill in your blank for you. Because our knowledge of God is based on his demonstration. How many of you have ever been to the fair? How many of you have ever been in the booths, in the community centers or whatever they call them there, and everybody and their dog, I mean, they're demonstrating Ginsu knives. They're demonstrating this pot and this pan. They're demonstrating this vacuum cleaner. Everybody's demonstrating something. Why? They're demonstrating it with the hope that somebody's going to see it and go, I just can't live without that. Has that happened to you before, Dave? When, what? Because you wanted Bill to be smart. I'm trying to help you. Okay, I'm trying to just help. So now you have two sets of encyclopedias. No, you didn't buy them. But they were trying to get you to buy them because they're better than the ones you have at home. Oh, my goodness. The altars are open. Bill. Woo. How many times, though, have people bought stuff in that situation because it was demonstrated? And you just, you're right, they can't say no. I mean, that is such a good deal. God demonstrated how much he loves us by sending his son to the cross to die for you and I. And the chart, I don't know how much the encyclopedias were, but the chart, $400 for books. The price for eternal salvation is free. To you and I. It costs Jesus everything, but to you and I, it's free. It's the only thing, church, that is absolutely free that costs you absolutely everything. Think about that. I'll just leave that with you. So because our knowledge of God's love is based on, you're fill in the blank, his demonstration, all doubts can be directly answered. I know God loves me because Jesus died for me. I know God loves me because Jesus Christ gave his life for me. And then, of course, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You are whosoever. And Myrtle Creek is full of whosoevers. And our mandate is to get whosoever in here and hear about this very thing. Amen? So God's love is not static. It's not self-centered. It reaches out and draws others in. Here's another fill in the blank. Here is God's actions. Here, God's actions defined the pattern of true love, the basis for all love relationships. When you love someone, you're willing to sacrifice dearly for that person. Here's another fill in the blank. sacrificial love expresses itself without the assurance that the love will be returned in kind. And so the timing of this love was highlighted by Paul in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, where again he says that God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died. He didn't wait for us to get it cleaned up. He didn't wait for us to get it right. He died while we were still a mess. He made provision for us while we were still a mess. And so we're saved, church, by faith in Jesus Christ, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, and also verse 13. Let me just read these verses for you. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe — remember, the word believe here is you believe and keep on believing. It's not a one-time event. I believe and I keep on believing. So if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wow. Isn't that awesome? All of a sudden, everybody's got something to be thankful for tomorrow. Hey, you got something to be thankful for tonight. Salvation in Jesus Christ. To confess means to give verbal affirmation, and in this case, to acknowledge with your mouth that Jesus died and was raised from the dead for you and I. Anybody can say that we believe in something, but God knows your heart. God knows your heart. Here's another fill in the blank. In this confession, it's not enough merely to utter the words. You must declare them. It's one thing to say something. It's another thing to declare it. It's another thing to say it with purpose and with tenacity, if you will. In this confession, it's not enough to just utter the words. They have to be declared, professed, proclaimed. Here's your fill in the blank: from the heart. From the heart. Expressing our full conviction. I say this often. I haven't said it probably in a while, but there's going to be a lot of people, I think, that are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. That's the distance from your head to your heart. You can have all the head knowledge. You can know the Bible inside and out. But if you don't apply it to your heart, if it doesn't somehow get into your heart and begin to transform you, you just know a lot. You just have a lot of knowledge. Right. 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 Yeah. And they asked him right there on the platform. And he didn't want. I can't even wrap my head around that. So here's another fill in the blank for you right off the bat. The gospel message in a nutshell is believe and confess Jesus is Lord and you shall be saved. That is the gospel in a nutshell. Believe and confess. Here's the thing. There is no reference in this to works or to rituals. Believe and confess. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you will be saved. Yeah. 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 Well, you just keep praying. That's all you can do, is you just keep praying and you live your life transformed before him. Then you keep praying. You keep praying. Put worship music on in your house. Every time he comes in, he has to hear it. Well, just don't scream back. Pray. Read my lips. Don't scream back. That's what I'm trying to get you to change, because your nature has changed. Your nature has changed. Your output needs to change in relation to your relationship that has changed. Yeah. Well, you need to just pray and be an example of love. Something different than what he's used to. Yeah. Right. Well, anyway, the point of decision is between the person and God. The point of decision is between the person and God, but the point of confession implies someone else, Jesus Christ. Has anybody ever asked you this question? And I'm about to close. How do I become a Christian? How do I become a Christian? I just told you moments ago. Believe and confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and you will be saved. He'll take care of it. These verses give the answer. Salvation is as close as your mouth and your heart. People think it's some complicated process, but it's not. It's believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. God will take care of the rest of it if you'll submit yourself to him. Here's another fill in the blank. If you believe in your heart and say with your mouth that Christ is the risen Lord, we will be saved. Here's another fill in the blank. You must first believe with your heart, and that belief justifies you. It declares you not guilty. I believe in the finished work of the cross. I believe that I'm transformed. I believe that my sins are forgiven. I believe that I'm washed. I believe that I'm a new creature. On and on and on and on. It goes and it goes and it goes. But you have to believe. You got to believe, and you got to keep believing. You got to believe every morning. His mercies are new every morning. You don't have to get saved every morning, but it wouldn't hurt you to say, God, I thank you today that I'm saved. Amen. There's a passage of scriptures in the book of Romans called the Romans Road, and it's on that flyer, that handout that you have, and if you'll follow that, it'll lead you right down the road of salvation. Amen. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you, Lord, for tomorrow. I thank you, Lord, that families are going to be gathering tomorrow and having a meal. People are going to be traveling, Lord. People have already traveled. People are going to continue to travel. And Lord, from what I saw today, it's crazy out there today. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd watch over those that are traveling. God, bring them safely to their destinations, oh God. Lord, if they're already there, we thank you in advance that they're there. We pray you bring them back safely. Lord, I pray, God, for each one watching tonight by way of the internet. I pray that as they gather around tables tomorrow, that they would take time and give thanks for what really matters. Salvation, life. The relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, nothing is more important than that. So, Lord, tomorrow I pray, God, for for those kinds of events to take place. Lord, I pray for healing. I pray for Kathy, God, that you would touch her and heal her. Lord, I know there are bodies that are hurting tonight. Lord, I pray for healing. I know that there are, I pray for Joe Stafford, that probably not very many in here may even know about Joe, but he was in an accident hunting this year and got a toe crushed and had to have it amputated. And so, Lord, I just pray for complete and total healing for Joe tonight. God, I pray for that. Lord, I pray for anybody else, Lord. I don't even know who all needs your touch, but I know there's a bunch of them. And so, God, would you do that? Lord, people that are battling addiction, and this time of year it's devastating and it's difficult, Lord, we lift them to you tonight, God, as they battle, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'd put a hedge of protection around each one of them. God, protect them. Give them the Holy Spirit to help them to fight and to resist the enemy and to take a stand and say, not today, devil, not today. God, I release warring angels to go and do battle on behalf of those that are fighting against addictions, Lord. God, be with them. Lord, give them strength. Lord, I pray that they would just be like, man, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden I just feel freed up. Lord, I release that right now in Jesus' name. Let them experience it. God, rebuke the devil off of them and from them. Lord, I pray every drug dealer gets saved and delivered and set free. That'd put an end to the problems, wouldn't it? God, just save them all. Radically, amen. Amen. We got one right here. Probably haven't been selling much dope since then, have you? See, that's my point right there. Set them free, Jesus. Save them by your glory. Because your blood was shed for them as well. So, Lord, I just thank you. I just pray that this Thanksgiving, those folks that are struggling with addictions can say, I'm thankful that I'm set free. It might be day one, but I'm set free by the power of the Holy Spirit and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. God bless you. I'll see you Sunday. Have a great rest.